Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Tony Cannulli is telling me that he is here on our radio show, and I do believe that is true. So I just had to refresh my page. Let's see if I get Tony. And we are coming in. Tony's coming in. I think my internet connection is running a little bit slow, but we are here right now. So for those people unfamiliar with my voice, it's Peter Mingles, and if you want to spell it, you know, if you're going to get it right, you might as well spell it right. It's M-I-N-G-I-L-S. So that separates us from all those mingles, like the dating sites and all those other things that people try to attach me to. And then we have Cannulli. Now, that's a tough one because it's C-A-N-N-U-L-I. So Cannulli. That's not as hard after you first spell it, but could be a little bit treacherous for those people that might not understand. But Tony is a person who I have a huge level of respect for, who's been associated with the network marketing and indirectly and directly the direct sales industry for a real long time. And we do this little radio show every Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time to be kind of like a heads up on some of the things that are happening in the industry as we see them and maybe give you some of our opinions on some of the stuff that we see. Today's going to be a little bit of a quick one because Tony's got another engagement. He has to jump in before 9 o'clock. So we have about 30 minutes to go over a whole bunch of information and some opinions as we go along. And, of course, we have my dog, my daughter's dog, in the background, and she's getting old and she's getting senile. So I playfully say it's better to hear the dog barking in the background instead of being buried in the backyard. So with that note, I'm going to let Tony do some talking as I maneuver this old puppy dog out of my room. So, Tony, back to you.
Hello. Hey, nice to be on the show with you tonight. Awesome dog. I got one, too, in the background. I don't know if he's quite as old, though, but he's getting there. Well, 7. So, anyway, but he doesn't usually make as much noise when we first had him. And I would do a lot of radio shows. Man, it was not easy because he'd bark at anything and everything, but he's kind of toned it down there. But anyway, yeah, we got a night tonight, but I know we have a lot to talk about. And why don't you start off? And I know you got some news there. I'm sure that there's always news in the direct selling industry. I mean, it's just a ton of things happening from day to day. And if you're a professional or you plan on being a professional, or would like to one day be a professional in this interesting profession versus industry, network marketing and direct selling, then there's always a lot of things happening on a weekly basis. So, Peter, why don't we start off with you, and let's get right into it.
Okay, good. So there's just a few things in the news that are certainly worth mentioning for those people that might be listening in. And I am not a social media guy, so I am not big into Facebook because I remember how Facebook started. You know, a guy who was, you know, just a jerk, was actually using Facebook to compare different girls, you know, and they were doing a rating of girls. And I thought, well, you're an idiot, you know, and just because a girl says to you no. So I remember the origin of Facebook. And then I also looked at some of the other things associated with that. But I'm old and crotchety relative to the new people that don't understand these things. So I'm really not a big Facebook kind of a guy. And since I've been drug into the social media world, I have had so much of my time wasted by answering people's simple or stupid requests on social media. It's actually getting out of hand. So anyway, so having said that little thing, I have found that although some people like to recruit people on Facebook and they use the social media things, and I kind of get it. Like, so if that's your thing, I kind of get it. It has been a huge distraction over here in my world. So that's one of the things I just wanted to touch on. I'll let Tony comment on that, but I'm going to mention this. because we have so many new people that are trying home-based businesses who have no clue of the real aspects of what it's like to build a network marketing company or build a home-based business, not from the, oh, you old farts, you just want to meet with people, you know, you talk on the phone. I'm talking about, like, no, I'm like the business model, hello. The whole purpose of a network marketing company was usually supposed to be a way to be able to increase the movement of products legitimately to end customers. And unfortunately, that has been missed out by a lot of the newer generation because they just don't know the background behind direct sales. So having said that, I'm just going to jump right into my little comment about one of those examples, like MOBE, M-O-B-E, or Digital Altitude, which were two network marketing companies, or however you want to call them, social selling companies, I think is the new fabulous term, and why they were shut down and how quickly they were shut down and the ramifications of them being shut down are. See, they started off a lot online with these little, you know, feeder programs, let's call it, little gimmicky things where you can get started with 21 steps towards success for only $49, give you lots of value up front. Or like Digital Altitude, you start off with $1. And then you get assigned a coach. And then that's where the predatory practices start. So they have these little bait and switches, if you will. We're going to bait you with what's perceived as high value, and we're going to switch you over by getting these coaches involved or these whatever we're going to call these success-driven people, and they're just going to step you up and literally abuse you if you're vulnerable or gullible or greedy or any of those other things. Well, those two specific companies just recently were shut down by the FTC. And what was really amazing about MOBE, my online business education, some people used to call it, or my online business empire, or my online business enterprise, depending on who you were talking to. The interesting thing about MOBE is they are in the process of settling with the FTC in record-breaking time. Like, usually these things drag on for a couple of months before they get you in a headlock and then they actually squeeze you to death. But the guys at MOBE, mostly and probably because of their lawsuit against the guys at Digital Altitude, folded their tent super fast. So for all of you who know people who were holding out to see if this thing will come back because of the mean old bad FTC, it's over, and it's over in a big way, and there's going to be a lot of people in a really big world of hurt with those types of companies. So beware the young people or the people that are wondering when you get them into these feeder programs, which are usually a low-cost, no-cost, perceived high-value thing, and it's then they're getting stepped up. Those are on target for the FTC, it seems like, to be shut down relatively and pretty quickly. So they're on a roll, the FTC. They realize that those guys fold real quick, and there's going to be some ramifications for a lot of people in the network marketing industry or in the, you know, affiliate marketing industry, and that's going to have ramifications on our industry for a real long time. So, Tony, I just wanted to mention that. I'll let you comment to anything that you'd like to on what I just said.
Well, you know, it's funny, when you mention feeder programs, I always think about the term, and I go, oh, a feeder program. Well, you know what it feeds? It feeds someone's greed, Peter. Because honestly,
right?
I just, you know, sometimes people don't, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And let's face it, most people didn't go to school learning how to be a, you know, a business owner, how to pick a home business, any business, I don't care what it is. And at the end of the day, sometimes people, when they see, you know, entrepreneurial activities, like, oh, that must be cool, or I like this person, or I like that web page, whatever. It's but they don't know what they don't know. They think, well, this could be legitimate. And anybody with experience is going to laugh and go, oh, my gosh, I wouldn't touch that thing with a 10-foot pole, right? And at the end of the day, that's what happens. And so, but these feeder programs are, there's no sustainability to them at all, none. There's not one that's lasted ever in the history of the universe, never mind the, you know, the galaxy or the world, right? never been one that's lasted. So, and a lot of times people go, well, you know, so it doesn't last, so what? You know, it's when you're building anything that has to do with residual or leverage, anything that you do for more than one day, if you're not thinking past tomorrow and next month and next year, you know, I'm not going to say you're an idiot, but, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Once again, you don't really understand this profession. It's a waste of time. You're better off selling medical equipment or something, or real estate or cars or, you know, whatever, than trying to leverage and take advantage of network marketing or direct selling. So feeder programs are a joke for the most part. I shouldn't say for the most part. Like I said, I've never seen one work long term. Most of them are absolutely just designed to take some of your money. A few people make a little bit of money with it, and they don't last very long, if at all. So regarding social media, and, you know, it is here to stay. There's no doubt about it. I understand this old school, new school thinking. I don't believe it. I don't look at it old school, new school. I think of it's just school, because a lot of times old concepts, what they call old, becomes new, and new becomes old. It's kind of interesting how that works, Peter. And what works is what works. You know, an old concept in 1985 would have been to hand you an audio cassette tape asking you if you were looking at a way, or you keep your options open, to make more money. And I may give you an audio tape to do that presentation. It will explain to you, maybe someone that knows how to pitch or present the business, whatever it may have been, Amway or Herbalife, whatever it may have been back then, and it would have done the work for me. Well, the same concept is the same today in 2018. It's just that I may give you a flash drive with, you know, that person speaking about that business, or I may give you a DVD, or I may send you a link to a YouTube video or a Vimeo video, or I may have you jump on my, you know, what's the word I want to use? Not webinar, but if we use, can't think of it, not Google Hangouts.
Yeah, Facebook Live.
Well, usually for opportunity pitches, though, you're not going to use Facebook Live, because Facebook Live is not really supposed to be business, and you're not supposed to be doing business, not from your non-business channel. Like if you've got a business page, it's one thing. But so it'd probably be more of a Zoom or go to meeting or go to webinar type of a setup where, you know, somebody would see a presentation. But think about the concept of that in 2018. Is there really anything different than if I called you in 1985 and said, hey, Peter, listen, man, I'm excited. I just got involved in a great business. I met this guy. He made $3 million in the last 3 years. And, oh, my God, I'm going to get rich. And I want to share it with you. Oh, Tony, I've been looking. Please, please, please. And then I drop that audio tape off. I could do the same thing today in 2018 and get you to go to that webinar or get you to watch a YouTube link. Or, you know, get you to listen to a conference call, for instance, or get face-to-face with you on a one-on-one webinar room and present with PowerPoint, and video. So it's the same concept. Concepts never change. You know, the techniques may change. But, you know, today what we're trying to figure out, and it's because it's newer, I mean, think about the last decade or so, we've had Internet driving our business. What we're trying to figure out today is how to incorporate the two together. But there is a disconnect there. It's difficult to get the same connection and that real warm connection you're going to get with somebody in person over a cup of coffee, over, you know, breaking bread at you know, Denny's and sitting down for coffee, even one-on-one, looking them in the eye, having that physical presence. It's difficult to do it, but it works. I mean, you know, people have built pretty big organizations in the last 5 to 10 years using social media, mainly more than really in the last 5, but they don't do it. They only use it as a tool to make the connection, build a relationship, and possibly to speed up the process of connecting. So there is a lot to be learned. There is a lot to be done. I certainly am learning it myself, because I'm an old dog kind of learning new tricks. Because I started in the industry, Peter, as you know, at a time when I remember cassette tapes. And heck, I remember VHS tapes that we used. You remember those, you know, back for presentations. And I remember whiteboards. And heck, I remember chalkboards before the whiteboards even. That's when I started in the industry in the mid-'80s. So the reality of it is that I am an old dog, But I do like anybody else, technology to help make the process better, faster, quicker. Problem is that a lot of times it's destroying businesses if they don't know what they're doing or how to do it, or if they think they're just going to automate it, push some buttons. But that's no different than it was 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when we had automatic downline building systems. Remember those people run an ad in, I forget the magazine, or they run Inc., or they run them in different newspaper articles. You know, we'll build your downline for you, and, you know, $19.95 a day, or $999 a month, or whatever it was. You know, and they would, I'll build your downlines for you, and it was all a crock of, you know what, smelled really bad. And at the end of the day, it wasn't social media. It was just, you know, it's the lottery mentality. How do I get there without working? How do I get the lottery type of situation where I buy a ticket and I become the instant millionaire sipping out of a coconut, you know, in the island somewhere. And that's what a lot of people, unfortunately, fall prey to and look for. And these feeder programs and some of these social media feeder programs, well, learn how to build your business on Facebook and we'll just give me a lot of your money, Peter, and I'll teach you how to do it. You know, and the way I'm going to teach you, it won't work anyway, but I don't care because, you know, I'll be teaching you LinkedIn next time or whatever. And unfortunately, not saying there's no value. There are some good people that teach some great concepts and techniques. I, you know, just teasing. But truth is that most of these feeder programs or social media programs where they're teaching you, just like the David and Davids we've talked about with Empower Network. I mean, that was a kind of a scammy kind of a situation, unfortunately, where people invested at different levels. And next thing you know, they're spending thousands and thousands of dollars on something that's got no real quantifiable value. So anyway, that's just my thoughts on both of those subjects. I mean, we could do shows just on social media and get into some great detail, the pros, the cons, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We could do the same thing on all these distractions. And by the way, these feeder programs, even if one was decent, all is it really is for most people, for all people that I know of, is a distraction away from your primary business. If you've picked the primary company, let's say it's Prepaid Legal and that's your company of choice and you want to build that company, you've picked that company. Now, you get detracted or distracted from with these feeder programs. Next thing you know, you've lost any motivation, you know, you've lost all momentum, you're just distracted and all distractions are equal. So, and we get enough distractions in normal life. So at the end of the day, even if you found one that was decent, it really, if you've got a company that you love and you really want to grow that business, become a leader, build a solid $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever your goal is to build, all those programs are going to take your money, they're going to distract you, and they're going to probably kill your credibility. Because then most people are going to start sharing it, and it gets into their group, into their business, and then people start talking, and they go, oh, my gosh, did you know Peter was doing that gas card thing over there? Did you know he was doing this? Did you know Tony was doing that? And, you know, and it's just never good. There's nothing good that comes out of it that I've ever seen. I wish I could say there was, Peter, but there just isn't.
There we go. It's true. And I know you're a creature of habit, so Prepaid Legal is now Legal Shield, so I know you know that, but for those people that are listening in, right? So Legal Shield is now the name of Prepaid Legal. So that is just one little comment. So one of the things that I wanted to mention that, and then Tony, I know you know a little bit more about the next topic than I do, but there's an underlying thing that's happening in our industry, probably always happened, but I think we're going to see more of it now than before, and that's the example of companies either being funded by outside distributors that are kind of keeping them afloat, and then as soon as they start to fall apart, they really fall apart fast. And I'll use one example. The moment this JR33 files for bankruptcy and drags AGEL and a lot of other companies down with it. Well, you can speak more to that one because you might know a little bit more about those companies. But I was perplexed just recently when Jamberry had the problem that they had, again, just recently, only because I think I have a family member who, unbeknownst to me, was doing Jamberry nails. So it was a nail wrap mostly product company. And one of my, my aunt's daughters, whatever that makes it, my cousins. One of my cousins was doing that. She's an adult cousin, and she was doing it, and I heard that she was doing that. It's really kind of cool. So it's kind of like, wow, that's great. She's got this part-time gig going on. She's selling these nails. She's really excited about it, probably doing little party plans and a lot of the Facebook things and all this other stuff. That's cool. And I said, wait a minute. I started to research them. Simultaneously, I saw them written up in Direct Selling News. So I'm sitting here right now. Direct Selling News, by the way, is a magazine, an online publication you can read free, or if you're a business owner, you can get it sent to you, you know, so you can have it in your hands. So I'm sitting here with the February issue reading about Jamberry as if this is the latest, newest, hottest, you know, thing that's going on the planet. They're building this like crazy, and then all of a sudden, here it is in June, and, you know, they're slow on commissions. They're, in essence, going out of business. There's been a lot of issues with stuff, and they're falling apart, basically. They're merging with another company called M Network, or not. M Network sounded like they were going to bring them to the prom, and then all of a sudden, you know, after they buy the Corsage and then never show up, you know? So the reality is, oh, I don't think that's happening. So now there's a whole bunch of things. So things aren't always as they seem is my basic point. So just because somebody was written up in a major magazine, and Direct Selling News, I think, has a pretty good handle on a lot of stuff. Things happen in our industry, and I think they'll continue to happen even more so now than ever before because of the rapidly shifting, changing times and technologies. So, you know, it took Avon forever to kind of like really finally close their last United States plant here in the U.S. You know, Avon's out of the DSA. And I think Tupperware left too, if I'm not mistaken. Well, maybe they're still around. But the reality is there's a lot of things that are shifting and changing in the MLM world, and things may not always be as seen. So you just have to watch, just because you might see it in writing somewhere, that they're really a solid company. So, Tony, I know, like I said, just a little bit about the Jamberry thing, watching that just kind of like go from like the hottest thing on the planet to now it's over, more or less. And, you know, the gals are splitting all over the place, to the stuff that might have happened with those other companies that seemed like, although I wasn't following them very much, like the Agiles of the world with some top leaders that were supposedly, you know, these reputable top leaders, and now all of a sudden they're in bankruptcy protection. So back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it's true. Oh, boy. And when you say that things aren't always what they appear, that's more often than not the case, and that is so true. You know, I'll tell you, I've seen very few, like this one company that was buying up all these companies that ended up, you know, in financial difficulty. One thing I've noticed over the years is that whenever you give, if you have a mission and you have the, you know, you have a real core mission, the company is mission-driven, you got the product line, the founders have, you know, their vision of what the company will become over the years or decades, right? Whenever you put control into the more control you put into other people's hands, the chances of you making a drop down, you know, just way out of sight. I mean, just the odds go against you. And so if you outsource the product, for instance, and you're reliant upon raw materials, and you're reliant upon a company, and you start outsourcing all these different things, or you get into a situation where you take on a financial partner or someone acquires you, you know, and you're in a situation where, well, that's going to be beneficial financially for the company. You don't necessarily, well, the people that buy you, they don't always have the same vision. Most of the time, they're not going to have the same vision. So the mistakes that they make, you're going to pay the price for. So the lesson really in all of this is what I see is that when you see a company that's being acquired, when you see a company that's merging, whatever you hear, whatever hype you buy into, remember, it's marketing. It's sales driven. It's going to be – it's like when you're dating, right? You want the person to see the best side of you. They don't want you to see the side that, you know, that you don't want to see. You want them to see. And so when these companies merge – you get all this information, and it sounds really, really good. And at the end of the day, though, Peter, a lot of times, like you said, it's not what it appears to be. So if you're looking at situations like that, and I saw signs just like you did, with the companies that had issues, like including Jamberry. And the M Network, I mean, they're brand new on the scene in the last couple of years. I got, as a matter of fact, they reached out to me for consulting, ironically, the founder of that company, and wanted to do one of the shows that I do. I did shows where I interview network marketing company owners. And so a couple of years ago, or a year and a half ago, he reached out to me. He seems like a really nice guy. But they're brand new, and they're wet behind the ears at this stage of the game. And so, you know, there's no track record whatsoever. But the message is that whenever you give control up of any aspect of your operation as a company, whether it be financial, whether it be products, whether it be outsourcing, you know, anything, you got to be really, really careful. And so my advice to people that are looking at companies that A, merge or are acquired is to watch them for a little while. The opportunities aren't going to be worse because 6 months goes by or a year goes by. Matter of fact, you know, most of the time, 6 months to a year, you go, thank God I didn't. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've had friends of mine and myself, not just friends of mine, but myself as well included, where I've said, I'm gonna watch this out for 6 months. Sounds good, but something's not right. And almost every time, Peter, I mean, almost every time, it was like, wow, I am so glad I didn't, or I'm so glad they didn't, or they came back to me and said, you know, these are seasoned professionals, so they, you know, have a little bit of wherewithal as far as expertise and experience, and maybe some common sense. And they would come back and go, oh, man, I'm glad I waited a year before I joined Modair. Oh, my gosh, that was a – man, what a dog that is. I'm not saying they're a dog. I'm just saying what they told me. I've heard this from people. Or, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't get into ACN. Oh, my gosh, I'm glad I didn't, you know, get into Nerium. Oh, have you seen what's going on with Nerium in the last 2 years? Oh, my gosh. You know, whatever. Or Genesis or whatever. You know, I'm not picking on any one company, although I could. And at the end of the day, you really should give it some time and really evaluate what it is you're doing. Why is that important? Because if you do it right, you could be like one of my friends, Alan, and I won't say his last name, but he's been with one company 26 years, and he's made $32 million in one company over 26 years. You know, now, rare story, I get it. Very few people will ever do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, that leveraged income that you get paid for is everything. I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. So, now, going back to that whole situation over there, it's a real shame what happened. And there's some really good companies and really good people that were hurt. But you know what? Here's the thing, Peter. Every one of those companies made the wrong decision. And I tell people this all the time. You're really at the wheel of the company owner's decisions, good or bad. And, you know, poor Agile, or poor this company, or poor Jan, you know, whoever the company is, right? But at the end of this, like saying the same thing to the person, they made the decision to get in bed with that company, right? JRJR or whatever. What a stupid name. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, maybe I remember Dallas when JR was popular, but let's just put it in perspective. Who the hell would get involved with a company, JRJR? I mean, come on. Couldn't you get a little bit more, I don't know, brand smart? I mean, JRJR, give me a freaking break. Anyway, so I had a little bit of a rant. Every time I see the name of that company, I go, oh, man, who ever thought of that? But these companies all had to vet that company and look at the founder, look at the people behind it who make the decisions, you know, and they all made the wrong decision, you know, and not everybody would have made that decision, Peter. So anyway, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add on that here. I know we got just a few more minutes here. I got about five more minutes. I'm good, so no problem with that.
All right, good. So we'll end it whenever you have to go. So the most important thing I want to say there is there's going to be a lot of transition in our industry, and there'll be even more transition in our industry. But watch out when you start to see that a company is funded by somebody else, or you know somebody comes in and kind of helps them out. That usually means they just don't have enough sales. So if they had plenty of sales, they wouldn't need that extra financial help. So if they are being funded or maybe bailed out by somebody else, it might be for another reason, and therefore it probably weakens their position. So I just wanted to kind of mention that along the way. We're going to be into a whole big thing. I'm not going to throw Donald Trump under the bus, but you could almost see the rumblings with the ripple effect that might happen with all these trade tariffs going all over the place. with Donald Trump deciding, you know, we're going to do steel over here, aluminum over here, Chinese are coming back and saying, well, we're not going to buy your soybeans anymore, and all those types of things, there's going to be a massive shift and change. The cheese is moving all over the place in our economy, and it'll just be a matter of time before it starts to affect our industry. And it's going to affect our industry in one of several ways. Number one, if somebody was in a job, they might not have a job anymore. So if they don't have a job anymore and they were in your network marketing deal, guess what the first thing that people do? They cut out their network marketing expense because they lost their job. So watch out for that. Some people might think, well, this is good. This is good because there's going to be a lot of flux. A lot of people are going to be looking to carve out their own path. Remember, there's only a certain percentage, it's usually pretty small, of those people that want to carve out their own path. So although it might sound like a good thing for the network marketing industry, it oftentimes, I have found, not necessarily to be a good thing because people need that disposable income they get from their job to reinvest into their part-time gig, which is going to be their network marketing company. So I'm just suggesting that that hasn't even happened yet. That's kind of like the light from the moon. The light you see today from the moon really hit the moon maybe about 2 weeks ago, and this may not be statistically, factually, scientifically true, but just get the point. The light you see from the moon right now, tonight, if you look outside, may not have doffed the moon the moment you saw it. We're going to see some things bounce off this economy as a result of what's happening with Donald Trump and the tariffs worldwide. There's going to be ramifications of that, Tony, and I don't know where it's going to shake out, and not all of it's going to be good. So for those companies that say, you know, we're expanding so well globally, you know, in China, that's our biggest place. Who's Donald Trump poking right now? China. So we don't know what kind of ramifications we're going to experience. So just get ready for it, because it's going to happen whether we know it's going to be 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, 4 months, a year, but it's going to happen for sure. The light has already hit China, using my example. So back to you.
Absolutely. And there are companies that have burned fields here in the U.S. that have gone international that aren't doing so well internationally. Like, you know, Gano Gold is a perfect example of that. So, yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. What's coming? Well, we don't really know. But I'll tell you, there are signs and symptoms, just as you pointed out very astutely, Peter, that make you go, we better be very careful. And and it's so true what you said about the economy, because you'll hear this. I don't even know how to put it, but I'll put it this way: you'll hear that. Well, you know, network marketing. One of the great things about it is it always grows in the down economy. Yeah, there's a little bit more to that statement than what meets the eye. And depending upon the company and the product, especially if they're more frivolous. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, and most of the companies that you see over the last 20 years, let's just say it's Zango, okay? They were a juice company. They had some special Zango steam or, I don't know, one of those. Anyway, Zango berry, mallow berry. It was one of those weird berries from some part of the world that you don't know where they're from, and, you know, some scientists lived to be 320 years old and all of that. So, anyway, were you drinking some exotic juice, Peter, for $40 a bottle before you joined that company? Probably not. You know, and then you take a company like Noni, which is another variation of another juice. So this is the juice craze that we went through in network marketing. And I'm kind of making fun of it, but, I mean, let's just put it in perspective here. I thought it was stupid then, and I'll tell you, it's stupid now. And, you know, $30, $40 bottles of expensive juices with a handful of ingredients that, you know, with names you can't even pronounce. And that company, you know, there were people that got involved and, oh, well, I'm paying $150, $200, $300 a month for this juice to get delivered to my house. The question is what were you doing before when you were doing okay, before you lost your job, for instance? Were you buying that product? Most of the time, no. Monavie, same thing, no. The coffee deals. Organo Gold is another phase we went through in the industry. Gano Excel, Jovita Coffee. They're still around, but they're not really. They're very small and not doing very well, from what I understand, at least. You know, there's very few of these coffee, the same thing. Well, how many people were buying instant sticks of coffee with mushroom extracts in it before they lost their job? You know, think about it now. Let's use some common sense here. Most of them aren't, and it's the same thing with high-end skincare. Now, granted, a lot of people use skincare, maybe more women than men, they say. I don't know, more men than women, they say. Who knows? I know, you know, most people want to look good, and I get it. But how often were they really buying really expensive skincare, $100, $200, $300 a month? Yeah, small percentage of people may have been buying that, but not everybody was. And what my question, Peter, once again, here's the question. You know what I'm going to ask? How many of them were doing it before? You know, how many of them were doing it before they got involved in that company, and then before they lost their job? You know, and so your point is extremely valid, in the sense that the first thing that's going to go is their automatic order, and unless people are buying something, you know, a number on a genealogy means zero. It means nothing. It's just data. You know, what gives you money is when someone buys or purchases a product. And someone says, well, when it's sold. Well, yeah, no, not when it's sold, but it's purchased. When you got to buy it from the company before you can freaking sell it. It's not when you sell the product. You got to buy it from the company. When it's bought, if you're in my group and I have a distributorship and you buy that product from the company before you sell it to your neighbor, I'm going to earn a commission because you bought that product at the end of the day, unless you know, obviously it doesn't matter, you do it online or in person. Granted, we don't do as much online, I mean, in person these days, but some companies still do, but most of it's done through websites. But at the end of the day, and I'm just using a few examples, and why am I using those examples? Because there's a couple dozen companies in that realm, in coffee, in juices, in high-end skincare, that have come and gone in 20 years. When I say come and gone, do you believe, Peter, and you know this to be true, many of them were over $500 million with a B in sales, over $500 million and gone today. Or they're like so tiny, so small. Visalus is another one. Let's go down the weight loss nutrition road, where you're spending $40 for protein-filled cereal, where you're spending $80 or $90 for a soy-based meal replacement product to lose weight. Yeah, you may have done it, but how long are you going to do it? For your 30, 60 days, around New Year's, around bikini season, whatever, to lose a little bit of weight because it's very temporary. You know what happens when you lose a little bit of weight? You stop buying the product. Now, it wasn't a big deal to spend $200 on this gas-producing substance before you got in, but now that you lose your job, guess what? You don't want to spend that $200 anymore. And so companies like Visalus went to $700-800 million in sales with an inferior product. And today, you know, I think they're still in business, Peter, but I mean, if they're doing $1 million a month, they're probably lucky. Whether they were doing, you know, $80 million a month in their peak, or not $80 million, I don't know what it was. I guess it was probably $60 to $80 million, somewhere in that range. And so you see these concepts, and I break them down in the real examples because it really makes more sense than just talking and saying, you know, just general statement. The general statement is, you know, well, when the economy shifts and changes, people aren't going to keep buying. Yeah, well, that's true, but let's look at history. And let's really see where it goes wrong. And I'm just using a few examples here. I mean, you know, Peter, as well as I do, that there's hundreds of more examples. So your point is right on. I mean, you're right. You nailed it there. You couldn't have nailed it any better with what you said. And I guess that's probably about right. I guess I'm getting ready to get on here in about 1, maybe 2 minutes. So we'll wind it down, and I guess let you finish up with the last words, and then we'll see everybody next.
We're going to call it a radio show. Yep. Yeah. So listen in to the previous radio shows. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com, you can find this under the MLMIA section. We put that in there. Doris Woods kind of put Tony and I together and said, you guys do stuff. So that's what we do, because we listen to Doris as well as other people. And I know that you guys need to hear some of this stuff as well, so you can kind of shake yourself out of whatever you might be listening to sometimes to make the right decisions. So we're not poo-pooing everything. We're just saying, hey, listen, there's stuff out there you probably need to know about, and shake yourself out of the ether. So those feeder programs or some of these other things, you know, just watch out, and watch out for what's happening in the future, because it's happening in the future. Plan for it, whatever, be aware of it, sell against it, sell with it, whatever it takes. But we're going to catch you next week. 386 is, oh, I'm sorry, not 386. BuildingFortunesRadio.com is the domain name, so BuildingFortunesRadio.com. Tony, I'm going to let you run. We're going to catch you next time, everyone. Thanks, and bye for now.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 8 radio on Building Fortunes. You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.